I am Kang. I have come from your future.
Avengers Spotlight!
Welcome to Back to the Bins, Avengers Spotlight, Do-Si-Do, and Around We Go. I am one of your two hosts. I am the presence known as Dr. Bill. And with me, my other comrade in arms.
Say something, Paul.
I was running out of things. I blew it all on me. I was going to say, would you Stalin-esque hair? I mean, you know, that's why I said my comrade.
You know, I was trying to think of something. Once you took the presence, I was trying to think of something clever to say, and I had nothing. I was coming up
the
totally
absence.
Blank.
We'll call you me. I'm the presence, and you're the absence.
Yeah, that's fine. I can live with that.
Paul is still reeling from that Is It Xanadu show that we did.
I personally loved Is It Xanadu. I wish you guys would do it regularly.
I don't know. I don't really know if I go along with that rating system. I have a completely different rating system for that. I have a feeling we're going to argue, if we continue that show, that we're going to have to come to some type of consensus as to the rating. As to Is It Xanadu? Is It Not Xanadu? We almost got into a duck season, wabbit season argument there, but we didn't. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Is It Xanadu, the Towering Inferno. We're here to talk about Avengers number 42 or 457, depending on how you want to number it, that came out in July of 2001, not a space odyssey. So we are... is there any other Avengers news? I mean, I've been hearing about the. Let me talk about a few other things before we get in. So, I am picking up new books again.
Why?
To continue my Avengers, and I've been getting a couple miniseries. I picked up three more issues of Avengers War Across Time. Because right. Kirk had given me the first one for Christmas.
First one's free.
So I was like, yeah, it was because it's Alan Davis art. So it's interesting. It takes place like basically right after the Kooky Quartet stuff we've been doing, and it kind of shoehorns in between some adventures. So I still got to find the last issue. So that I'll be on the hunt for that. And so I picked up that. I also picked up there was four issues and new issues of Thunderbolts. I was like, oh yeah, I'll get this. It's a continuing series, and I bought four of them and said, yeah, can you put this on my list? And the guy's like, well, that was it. It was just a four issue miniseries. I'm like, haha, okay.
That's even better.
Good, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't
want to fall down another rabbit hole.
No. I'm strictly limiting myself to Avengers titles, Thor, Iron Man, and the Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts if they come out.
See, my
I'm not going down the X-Men hole. No.
My new comic buying is really limited to specific things that I hear. If I hear, you know, this particular thing is really good, you should check it out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the one that I have made a point of is now Beware of the Planet of the Apes. But I only got issue number two so far. because when I saw issue one in the store, they were asking for like a ridiculous markup on it, and I thought, well, it's a freaking month old. I'm not paying a markup on it. So we'll see. Then, you know, I will buy them when I see them at a reasonable price, but I will not pay a markup price on them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I will go up to cover price. That's it. And even that for me is crazy expensive for a new comic.
Well, and on the movie front, they're because they've been working on Captain America 4, which I guess they're introducing. They're going to introduce allegedly a new Avengers team in that. I guess we'll see.
Well, I guess that's the plan to start ramping up towards an Avengers movie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure where they're going to go. I'm still not particularly, you know, nothing has changed since the last time we discussed it.
Nah. I might go. I like the last two Deadpool movies. I'm tempted to go see the next Deadpool movie in the theater.
I'm tempted for that as well. Especially with the Wolverine thing, and they're going to be doing, you know, probably a multiverse story, which could be interesting and could be fun. Could have some fun cameos in it.
So, yep. So I guess that's it on the Avengers news.
So, I guess. You know, we're continuing our dive into Kang, and this is, I'm trying to remember, what is this overall arc called?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either. It's like the Kang Initiative or something like that.
Kang Initiative. Kling Klang, Klong Kang. King Kang. Ching Chong.
I don't even know. But you know what? We did the first issue. You all should have heard that by now. And if you haven't, go back, download it.
Yeah.
We'll wait. And now we're ready for the second issue. And just, you know, you're going to give you a synopsis and then we're going to do a page by page. But just by way of a quick thought process on it, you know, I read it again this morning. I read it this morning. I don't know if I had read it previously. And I found it interesting, and it was a kind of a fun read because of some of the things in it, but it still felt like, okay, we're still not ramped up yet. We're building. It's like when you're on a roller coaster and you're going up the first hill.
Well, I think we kind of went over the first hill, but not the really tall hill. We did like one little hill when last issue they blew up the UN.
I thought that, but then now I feel like we're still riding up it. I feel like we're still not there yet.
Well, yes. I agree. We went over some little quick little dip, but now we're still climbing up another big hill to see where this is going to go.
And, you know, this feels like it could have an Avengers Forever type effect overall, that, you know, we may be seeing some – because, you know, again, we're going to get into the story, but it's got, you know, some clashes of different – realities already that we're hearing about, and I'm wondering if it's going to be some sort of a reconfiguring of things by the time it's done.
I don't remember. I do know that, and we'll mention this after I give the synopsis, there's like locations and things that are mentioned in the synopsis that well, you know, we'll just discuss that after. So.
Yeah, so why don't we jump into the synopsis now?
All right. Well, our credits. Kurt Busiek is the writer. Alan Davis, pencilers. Mark Farmer's the inks. Tom Smith is the colors. Richard Starkings and Comcraft's Jason Levine are the letters. Mark Sumerak, assistant editor. And Tom Brevoort is the editor. And I believe I don't have the cover credits, but I'm assuming that's obviously Alan Davis, so, and I'm assuming Mark Farmer again as well. So, the synopsis goes like this. Broadcasting worldwide, Kang shows Earth many possible disastrous futures, arguing only he can protect humanity, and promising to lead Earth to interstellar greatness as its new ruler. Make Earth great again. UN official Kofi Annan rejects Kang. Did you realize that was Kofi Annan? I did not. I didn't catch that in the reading, but that would make sense. That would be about the right time frame,
yeah,
I guess. UN official Kofi Annan rejects Kang on Earth's behalf, and the military tries to shoot down Kang's orbiting Damocles base. But Kang wards off their attack easily and says he will conquer Earth for its own good if humanity will not surrender. He hopes his global broadcast will encourage the common people to accept him, even if their leaders do not. But in the meantime, he has also publicly promised that anyone who conquers part of Earth in Kang's name will have a place in his new order. Acting on this promise, wait for it, Atuma.
Not Atuma.
No, it was Atuma. Atuma leads his Atlantean army against Prince Edward Island. A deviant army invades China, and various other menaces arise worldwide. These attacks, Kang explains, will wear down Earth's defenses while he prepares his own troops. As Kang departs, he warns the first of the apocalyptic threats he foretold has already arisen in Russia, where Captain America's Avengers squad comes to the Winter Guard's aid against the Presence, who is transforming people into radioactive zombies. Ooh.
It's right. Deation.
Deation. So, real quick, so some of the places that are mentioned...
Do you want to mention them now, or do you want to wait until we're page by paging it? And?
Yeah, I may not be able to suss out which one... I guess we'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'll see if I can look them up, because they're kind of like jumbled around. Like, they're not in order. But we'll figure it out when we get there.
Okay.
Alright, so we got the cover.
We start with the cover, and... You know what? What's interesting about the cover is I saw the three panels. Well, just to describe it for anybody who doesn't have it in front of, there's three panels that are vertical, side by side, and the first one shows what appears to be Avengers that are kind of Ultroned.
Yeah, that's from Alchema. You remember Alchema was Ultron's mate? I think that was earlier in this.
After Jocasta.
Later in this. Yeah. That was the one after Jocasta. Yeah, Alchema.
The second panel shows basically the Avengers, but it looks like it's a time thing because the Iron Man has his old faceplate. With the pointy.
I think
peaks
that was
over
actually.
Over his eyes.
Nope, that's the one that's in this book.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yep.
And then the third one has the translucent Avengers that are, you know, kind of. What we're seeing with the radioactive ones, as we go along. So, but then you know, I had not noticed. It just totally escaped me that we have two eyes and a mouth for Kang on the cover.
Oh, you did see that? Oh yeah, that's his mask.
Yeah, the cover is actually his mask. I guess with these things reflecting off of it, and I had not noticed that until just today.
And he has those lovely brownish, orangish.
He looks almost disinterested the way his eyes are, like, not all the way open.
He's like, the Avengers again.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't I? Wait, it is the 21st century. Now I can defeat them. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, is that? Well, I don't know. Has he actually mentioned that? Because that's always been his thing, that he couldn't defeat them in the 20th century. So now technically he's in the 21st century, so. Game on, bitch!
So we open up with the Avengers team that's in Russia, which is Thor,
Black Knight,
Cap, Pietro, Firebird.
But yeah, Firebird.
And they're getting a transmission in Russian, which Pietro understands, and like, doesn't everybody?
Yeah. You speak Russian?
And then they see that there's an explosion off in the distance, which they figure is, you know, what's going on with the Russian super soldiers. Who are the super soldiers there? There's
Darkstar, Red Guardian, and... I can't remember that guy's name. I got this big freaking book here. Because the other one I always remember is the guy that could turn into a bear. Isn't that Ursa Major?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now these two, Darkstar and the
Winter
guy who's
Guard.
Name you can't Darkstar? Remember, they're twins, right?
I think so. So the guy that's Red Guardian that we named Red Guardian, he's actually now called Steel Guardian. Vanguard. Vanguard, that's the other, that's the guy. So.
Sounds like a deodorant.
Vanguard.
So what, as they run off to see what the explosion, what the heck is going on with this explosion, we go back to the UN, where we have a really cool two-page, it's not really, it feels like it's a splash, but it's not, because it's, you know, there's like six panels that are kind of at angles to each other. And I think it's very compelling the way it's drawn. It's, you know, we're seeing things from a distance, things close up. You know, the shot of Kang is so, I think it's so cool because it's so reminiscent of him in, I guess, issue number 8 when he first appeared.
Oh, yeah, on his chaise lounge.
On the giant, giant futuristic chaise pillow.
Yep.
With the Scarlet Centurion standing behind him. Yeah, and you're right, Iron Man does have the faceplate with the thing, so I was totally wrong on that.
Yeah, so in this group of Avengers, we've got Triathlon, Iron Man, Vision. Is that Hank Pym? Yeah, that's Hank Pym as Giant Man, I think. Oh, again, I have a book. I could look these things up. You think I could? Iron Man. Oh, it's Goliath, but it doesn't say if it's. Yeah, that's got to be.
I'm pretty sure it was Pym at this point.
Yeah. But because remember at one point it was.
It was Clint Barton. Hawkeye,
Clint Barton, but yeah, he wasn't doing that at this point.
But they are drawn so similarly as far as their features and, you know,
their blonde hair. Yeah.
So it is very difficult to tell. Now the spaceship that is the Sword of Damocles, is that really like, is that smart? You know, is he like creating like an amusement ride, or is there some sort of actual use to it being shaped like that? Is there something functional about that?
I think he's just going for... Well, if I remember correctly, later... I want to say at some point it slams into the Earth. Point down.
So it's... I mean, is it intended to be used that way as a weapon where it's really actually intended to be used as a giant sword?
Maybe he just likes the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Possibly.
Somebody will get that.
So they're confronting Kang, and he says, "Well, let me reveal to you what it is I'm here to stop for your future." And
the first thing he gets to, excuse me while I whip this out.
First thing he gets to is the green translucent zombie people, which are actually apparently the Avengers, because you have an Iron Man suit with, you know, that he's burst out of. You have Spider-Man's mask on the ground. And then, interestingly, because I didn't notice it when I was first reading it, but there's a giant poster of the presence on all the way on the right with a, you know, the word join on it.
But did the presence... Okay, we're going to see the presence at the end of the book. But did the presence... Do you think he's got advertising?
That's the weird thing.
Pumping out posters?
Know.
It's like, what? He's just taking people over just by being in contact with them, and he needed an advertising campaign? It's a little silly.
Well, maybe he first took over people on Park Avenue. Well, Madison Avenue, wherever it is that the advertising agency
is. I don't know. That looks like it could be the Empire State Building in the background, to the left.
Yeah. Now, I guess we could, you know, even though we don't see him again till the end, we could talk about the presence a little bit. You know, I have vague memories of him appearing in The Defenders.
Defenders number 52, which we looked up
prior to the show. Pulled number 52 out of thin air, which turned out to be correct, but I could have easily have been mistaken. I seem to remember it was, you know, they had kind of gone afield with the membership of the Defenders, and they went back to having a story where it was the Hulk, Doctor Strange, and the Submariner. And they faced off against the presence, who was a Russian scientist who basically worked with radioactivity. I think he was radioactive himself. And I think he's the father of Dark Star and Vanguard.
Something along those lines, yeah. So
we follow up the pretend splash page with a real splash page, because this one has the, again, translucent characters kind of heading towards the reader, looking quite zombie-like, but not traditional.
A skeleton zombie wrapped in green, translucent, glowing skin.
Silly buddy.
Because you could see the bones and everything, and you just see bones in this, like if a Green Lantern created a Halloween costume, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, I'm trying to look on the one that's in the front.
There's no discerning, there's no real, you know, you can't tell, there's no way to tell one, they all look the same.
But the one on the front, it almost appears that there's a mask, or the shadow of a mask on the head, but that could just be a general shadow, I can't tell for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, towards the end of the book, they'll be, when we see the presence again, you'll see some of the Winter Guard that'll be transformed, and you can see their masks underneath the glowy stuff. But yeah, then we see Kang is saying, you know, how will this future come about? And then he shows the Avengers that are there, which I don't remember Scarlet Witch being there. At least she wasn't on the other page, fighting. And basically, just by their touch, they can take over. And then after that, when the air is poisoned and, you know, people just walking around will succumb to the presence.
Well, it's, you know, it's creating enough of a spookiness to it that it almost has like a Walking Dead or the Borg,
yeah,
kind of feeling about it.
Yep.
Now, so we have the Avengers. Yeah, there's definitely a different group here. You have Triathlon in the front. There's the Scarlet Witch and Goliath. And then behind him, you could see Ms. Marvel. To the right, you could see there's Wonder Man.
Well, yeah, that doesn't make any sense because Ms. Marvel is here in New York.
Oh, but then you also see Reed Richards and the Thing.
Oh, and I didn't see Reed Richards. Oh, okay, yeah.
And then who is it? There's, like, by the Thing's feet, there's somebody who's down on the ground.
I don't know who that is. Is that that's not Elektra?
That was my first guess, but I don't think that's accurate.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well, hold on. I got a book.
You got a book.
Let's see if the book tells me. Vamp.
You know, he basically shows that, you know, even people who kind of went off on their own to escape it all will eventually kind of succumb to the poison in the air and be ruined just the same. Like, you can't get away from this radioactivity.
Nah, it'll take me forever to figure out if they do even, because I don't see anywhere. I was scanning for, like, Reed Richards. Guest stars. No.
While you keep looking, the narration by Kang says the transform, they join their brothers.
Silverclaw.
Oh, okay. So
Silverclaw.
So basically a nobody.
Hey.
So that's what that is.
So Kang goes on to say how all of these radioactive zombies, you know, they have no independent thoughts of their own. They all move together and join. And then humanity, at least as we know it, is dead. And to symbolize that, there's a picture of a little tricycle on its side in a zombified area. Not even zombified, just a desolate area.
So the atomic zombies are from Earth 45017. The book does break out, like, each of these futures that Kang sees is a future, is a alternate Earth.
Is that particular Earth, is it noted if it's, you know, appears in any other books that we should know of?
It does not go that far. I would have another cross-reference, because I have a cross-reference of multiple Earths, like, that I could look that up, but that would take me some digging. It would be a lot of research.
Okay, so from there, we come back to Kang and Scarlet Centurion, and he's saying that, you know, even if you could avoid that, then another future is one where humans become puppets of the corporate powers. And it looks similar to Days of Future Past.
Yeah, but it's got Bane-tronics, and now I'm trying to look up something that says Bane-tronics, which Earth that would be.
Is that on the is that the UN that's marked Bane-tronics?
No, I don't think so. And then we've got, so yeah, let me just list these Earths that they reference. So they've got other characters. So they say, all right, so Earth 70395, Alchemist Robots, including Robotic Scarlet Witch, Vision, and Wonder Man. Earth 691 with the Badoon. Earth 17342, Chiton and Zombies. Earth 1745, Solar Flare Survivor. Earth 10742, Abominations. Abominations. Earth 8394, Commodo. Behind the scenes and humans during Defenders. Oh, this one does reference where Defenders 125, 1983. Earth 9014, Fandral Hogan and the Midgard Serpent. Thor, Other Earth. Earth 6311. The Earth 6311. Irene's last seen in FF 273, 1964. Earth 11500, Magneto, Mystique, Sunfire, Human Slaves. We mentioned the zombies. Earth 107342, Anti-Panther Protesters. Earth 9930, Scans and Avengers, Black Panther, Crimson Dynamo, Jocasta, Killraven, Living Lightning, and Thundra. Previous six last in Avengers Forever 112, 2000. Earth 8410, Midnight Wreckers, 2020 AD, Rebel Group. And okay, yep. That pretty much covers. Oh, there's some other ones. God, there's a lot.
Okay, well, just to kind of go through the pictures as I see them, and that would probably refer to the Earths you're talking about. But after the Bane-tronics one, there's one that has what appears to be like Valkyrie type women on mechanical dragons that are shooting fire down at the Earth. The second one has what appears to be the Killraven.
Yeah, and that's one where the moon was destroyed. So, although in Thunder of the Barbarian, it was a comet that passed and destroyed the moon. But that's, so I'm thinking, I'm going to call that the Thunder of the Barbarian world.
Okay. The second one has, the War of the Worlds, but it looks like it's from Avengers Forever.
Yeah.
The next one has Ragnarok, which I guess is the one that it said was Fandral or whatever. The next one is the Elder God Shathan and the unspeakable infection he brings. The next one after that is the sun flaring up and boiling away Earth's seas. Then we have where Magneto takes over the world with his evil mutants. Actually, not necessarily evil, because Sunfire is there. Then we I don't know what the next one is. Something about something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
And then we have the Badoon. Again, I'm not sure what that next one is. Then I think they.
Then there's the Abomination one that was mentioned, and then there's the Alchema world, and then there's the Anti-Panther.
Yes.
And then I don't know and what that.
One where Twin Earths collide, which I assume that was Counter-Earth.
Oh, yeah, because it says Triggerbyte faulty computer circuit as twin Earths in the same orbit collide. Yeah. And then we've got Kang looking smug. I know all this can happen.
It could be any of these or a thousand more. And mark my words, men of this century, these are not airy projections invented, worst case scenario. I am a time traveler. I have seen them all with my own two eyes. So while they're listening to him, the Avengers are whispering to themselves that they have to stop him. Mm-hmm. Scarlet Centurion, you know, acts like a little girl and starts saying, stop.
Shh. Hush. And then Wasp is kind of like, hey, let's hear him out.
And then at that point, Ms. Marvel starts having the realization that the Scarlet Centurion is Marcus of Avengers 200 fame.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't really act on that because immediately Kang starts screaming out that, you know, they're on a treacherous path that will become harsh. Your only hope is the man who has seen the myriad futures who can guide you through their treacherous eddies and byways. Byways, excuse me. Guide you from this mankind's birthplace to a glorious destiny in the stars. So at this point in the story, he's coming off the way he's speaking as if he's benevolent. Mm-hmm. Like he's trying to save them from this, you know, from these fates.
Yeah, but, well, unfortunately.
Well, at that point, leader of the UN comes out and says, that's enough. And he set off missiles that they send towards the Damocles ship, and they hit it, and there's a big flare from it, and nothing happens.
Which, come on, this wouldn't really happen with the UN.
They would have have meeting after meeting after meeting to decide. Yeah. But, you know, and then this is where Kang reveals himself, because he says, and you misunderstood any purpose here. I fear this is not an offer of assistance, but a declaration of war. I intend to conquer Earth in order to save it. I will, of course, extend to you all the opportunity to surrender, but I know you won't take it. So instead, let me tell you what will happen.
So at this point is where I would have Samuel L. Jackson giving this dialogue. Oh, I'm sorry. Allow me to retort.
So he basically says, you know, his troops will come down and they'll start working on things. And what does he say? They're going to first go for...
they'll take France and Germany first.
Yes. Because America will be doing exactly what we said the UN would be doing.
Yeah, nothing. And we'll fail to take immediate action. Wait, Joe Biden wasn't president then. Oh, sorry. Too soon?
And he basically comes right out and says they're going to, you know, selectively breed what's left of humanity at that point to serve their purposes.
Best humans ever.
So
make humanity great again.
You'll never succeed. The world will unite against you. Will it?
I'm an equal opportunity offender, folks. I'll be here all week. Sorry. All right, I'll shut up now.
Then we have a real smug, devious-looking shot of Kang's face where he says, the world's governments will unite against me, yes. But the people, they may be another matter. For the world's governments, what do the world's governments offer after all but uncertainty and possibility of worldwide calamity? While I, on the other hand, offer security and protection. An iron hand, yes, but a sure hand, a promise that Earth's children will survive and become a glorious star-spanning empire. Yep. We can rule them, father and son. Come, take your rightful place by my side.
I don't see that. What?
Oh, okay.
Oh, and by the way, he spread this over all the technology and the internet, which... I guess 2001, yeah, it was still a nascent internet. It wasn't, you know.
It wasn't.
I think we were just still on the.
Is now.
No, I think we were still on the edges of dial up, but we didn't have smartphones yet, if I remember correctly. Those didn't come until what, like 2006, 2007?
I couldn't even tell you anymore. I'm old and my mind is feeble.
I'm old and yet I must scream. Wait, no, that's not that story.
So then
I have the phone and yet I must scream.
When they say the world is going to fight you, they'll send the Avengers and the Fantastic Four, and Kang's response is, I look forward to the coming combat, sir, very much. But you should know there's another offer I've made the world. Anyone who rises up against their present masters, who takes control of a part of the world's inhabitable surface and swears fealty to me, they will have a place in the new order.
And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords.
That offer, too, was made public when I began speaking, and now I am allowing full radio communication into the force field. Perhaps you wish to discover what is happening outside. And that's when we cut to the shot of Atuma.
The glorious Atuma.
Bringing his troops to the surface world.
It is Atuma.
Where are the deviants? The deviants
are in China. In Wuwei, China.
So, and you know, it's already looking pretty hopeless. Basically,
if only they had gone to Wuhan. Oh, sorry. Too soon?
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
And with that, yeah, with all the reports of that although they don't name him as Kofi Annan, says it is too much.
Is it really too much?
Then Kang's like.
But then the troops with tanks and all that are by where Kang is, I don't know if it's a general or whatever, says, hold your fire, repeat, do not fire. And Kang's response is, how good that you understand. Oh, and that future threatened, I warn you of at the very beginning? Look to the east, Avengers, and then we cut back to Captain America's group.
Well, what a face he's making. Look at that face.
But you know what? With the Kang mask on, the fact that Alan Davis is able to get these smug looks out of him, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in, what was it? Did you watch Quantumania?
Yes.
So in that, like, that wasn't really a mask. It was kind of like an energy screen that came down over his face. And I wonder if I mean, that's what they did in that movie, because I don't really recall. I'm trying to think if I've – I mean, we've seen him without the blue face, right?
We've seen him without the blue face, and we've seen him with the blue face where you still see – pigments like of Caucasian skin, like around his eyes.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Side note. All right, back to the zombies.
So yeah, we cut to the. Now where is this place?
Siberia.
And it's like a radioactive forbidden zone.
Yeah. It's the forbidden zone. Sorry.
And they find Darkstar there under a. Avalanche of rocks, and she's saying he has returned. Captain America returned and taken them all. And then we cut
Doctor
to
who has returned?
The press.
Zounds!
He's there sitting in his energy chair, much like Abe Lincoln approaching the Starship Enterprise.
He looks a lot like from Green Lantern books. Hector Hammond, the guy that's got the big head that lolls to the side.
Except he's like armored.
Except he's armored and he's got a big head, but it's like some type of helmet. And this is where I was saying we would see characters that you could see their costumes underneath their green glowy bits.
Well, you could see Vanguard very clearly.
Yeah, and then you could see another lady back there with boots. And like a bustier, and then so the person on the left of presence, I believe, is Steel Guardian. Vanguard's in the front. I'm not sure who that other person is that appears to be a hero or someone in a costume.
Then, it's a pretty, pretty eerie looking picture.
Oh, yeah. He says, yes, yes. He's Mr. He Burns. Says, yes.
It is I, and I bring with me a new dawn and the blessings of a new kind of life, a blessing I will share with the entire world. And then it says, next, poison wins.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
So it feels, you know, like there was precious little in the way of combat in this. It was all really a form of exposition to bring us forward to this moment.
Yeah. And so the question now will be, will the next issue give us some combat, which I happen to have on my computer. And I'll open up and take a peek. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser. Oh, that's it. Mm.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say, though, despite the fact that this had very little in the way of active action, it was a pretty cool story. And I enjoyed reading it, even though it's really, like I said, set up. It feels like good setup, you know? It makes me want to continue reading. So that's all I ask for. If I want to keep going, that means they're doing their job right. At least I think they are.
Wow. Sorry, I just... Next
is that your Owen Wilson?
Wow, the next issue is like... It's the same people, but it's... I don't know. I don't want to say that... Well, you know what? We'll talk about next issue when we get to it.
But yes.
Now I'm excited to get to next issue. But let's go back to this issue. So what do we think about the cover?
You know, I like the cover for the artwork. I like the cover for the layout. I like the fact that it has the hidden Kang face in it. But the, I guess I'd call it monochromatic, because it's really just blue and white, except for the eyeballs.
Yeah, but it has to be, Paul, because it's Kang's mask.
I know. But that makes it feel less dynamic.
Even the heads up in the top are all have a bluish tint.
I know. It almost feels like a cover that was left in the sun too long.
Oh, wah.
I'm telling you, I'm calling it the way it is. You know, I like the artwork. I like the concept. But the final product doesn't draw my eye because of the lack of color.
You didn't even know it was Kang's mask.
I know, which means that I didn't even really like the concept until I realized that. I just thought it was three panels. Did you realize it was Kang's mask?
Yes, I knew it was Kang's mask.
Oh, you're special.
He's got his big lips across all the front and his nose holes and his eyes are right in the middle of the thing.
All right, all right. So you're smarter than me. What can I tell you?
I'm smart.
I know Kang. But Kang, you know, I thought it was a good cover. I like the, like I said, I like the way it's drawn. It's just the lack of color doesn't draw my eye to it.
But if you had color, it would take away the fact that it's his mask.
Yes, it would.
You can't have color.
It's a no-win situation. It's the Kobayashi Maru.
We will agree to disagree.
But I'm going to say it's just the because no-win the artwork cover. Is so good, I would give the cover a B.
Mm. I'll give the cover an A.
Okay. The interior art, however, I think is excellent throughout. This is, you know, I mean, it's 2000, so I was going to say, you know, talk about 90s art. This feels like it's recovering from 90s art. It's so good compared to that stuff. I really think it's sharp. I think the colors all pop on it. I think everything is drawn well. I think the storytelling is good. I'm going to say an A+ on the interior art.
Oh, yeah. I highly agree. Now, for the story, though, so we're still in the ramping up phase. So I don't really want to give it an A+. But I think I would still – it's nice seeing all these other alternate Earths, alternate futures. Kang is just, you know, all kinds of Kangness.
I don't feel cheated by the by the fact that it's ramping up. Mm-hmm. And that's the key to me. When we get these ramping up stories and at the end of it, you feel like that's it. You know, I paid money to have this book and this is it. That's when it fails. This book doesn't leave me with that feeling.
And I think that's because we have the second narrative going on in Siberia. If we didn't have that other narrative, I think we might feel cheated. Because we start there, then we go into this with Kang, and then we end back there and we see what happens. So there's a payoff. You didn't see, we don't have to wait a whole issue to see what happened in Siberia.
Yeah,
what happened to the other team. So we've got the exposition out of the way, and then Kang does the teaser, and then we get the two pages, and we go back and see, oh, shit, what's going on here?
Yeah, so I'm saying the story, I'm not going to give it an A+, but I think I'm going to give it an A.
Yep, I agree. So overall, my grade is a solid A. Yours is a weak A.
I'm still at a solid A, despite the fact that I'm not as high on the cover as you.
Okay.
Now, this is really good, and I'm looking forward to our next one.
Oh, man, I looked at it. I think the art is even better, and it's the same people. That's why I'm like, it's the same people? Do you have it handy to where you can look at it just to, like, skim through the art?
Yeah.
So it's the same?
At a glance, the art is excellent. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look forward to doing that, and we're going to have to get to that one pretty soon.
Yep. Well, I guess that wraps us up.
Wrap it up. I'm going to bring it home.
Wrap it up. I take it.
All right. So if you like our show, whatever source you get to download us, please go and give us 5 stars, because I think that's cool when it happens. First of all, it's a nice thank you to us. And second of all, it helps people to find our show. I just saw it today. I don't know when it was posted, but on the back issue Facebook page, somebody posted something asking, you know, what comic book podcasts do you listen to? And I, out of ego, I decided to look it over. And I saw all of these different shows that get mentioned. And I was thinking, well, where is Back to the Bins? And then there was a Back to the Bins message. Ryan Prinkley, who's a contributor on our Facebook page, said, these are all great suggestions of something new to listen to. And I already listened to several of them. I would also add the long-running Back to the Bins podcast. So, Ryan, thank you. I appreciate you putting us out there.
Thank you very much.
So, and, you know, yeah, the reviews, like I said, it's a combination of, it makes me feel good about what we do, and it also helps people to find us. So I'd ask that you do that. And in the meanwhile, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.